Good to be here this morning, as always. Thank you so much for being here. We certainly appreciate it. We do have quite a few in our assembly this morning, and it is wonderful that you have chosen to be with us. As we've assembled this morning, we certainly want to think about and center our minds around our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because He died for our sins on the cross, and He made it possible that we can have our salvation, and certainly that's a precious thing for us to have. Galatians 6, 7 through 10, the Bible says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." As we read this passage, certainly we can understand something that is a principle, reaping what we sow. Today we're going to talk about family. And I would argue that after I give this lesson coming from God's Word, that each one of us will seriously think about our situation, because we're going to talk about two aspects of it. There's a principle taught in this text that we will reap what we sow. But even if we didn't have that from God's Word, we would understand that, wouldn't we? We would know, as we look around life, that we do reap what we sow. Would none of us plant something expecting something else? We plant something expecting whatever it is we planted to grow. We understand that. We don't like it when we buy something and we plant it and something entirely different comes up. But even with that said, sometimes we have to be careful to not let other things get sown or grow in with the things that we've already planted. It is a continuous process, isn't it, to keep our gardens and our yards and other things clean of unwanted items. Matter of fact, I'm starting to love my yard with all those unwanted items in it. I think it's just looking more and more beautiful as time goes on. Not so much with the garden, though. I don't like that. So as we look at this and we think about it, the same is true of our physical and spiritual life, and he talks about that, and we're going to study that today in the family. Have you ever heard this one before? Bruyere, I guess, said, "Most men spend the first half of their life making the second half miserable." The truth is that what we sow is what we reap. And I know he's exaggerating this, and certainly, as I pointed out up front, through Jesus Christ, this does not have to be the case. But we do and will always reap what we sow. As Christians, we don't want that to happen. So how do we prevent it? Well, I think we need to start well as parents. The problem is that every parent in this room that has already raised their children is going to be very honest today and say, "If I had that to do over again..." And why do we say that? Because we don't have it to do over again. So listen to some of these parents, young people. Before you ever have your children, listen to the advice and the wisdom they give you from God's Word. Did you know that the best parents never had children? They're the best parents in the world. You ever talk to them? They'll always tell you exactly what you need to do, don't they? It's just amazing how that works. But the best parent is our Father in Heaven. He's our best parent. He understood before He ever created us what it would take to be a parent. He also understood that the best of the best will make so many mistakes and errors in bringing up their children. And why is that true? Because we are a people who, number one, don't listen to God, and number two, even when we listen to Him and try to do the best that we can, we still make lots and lots of mistakes. So I would argue that you want to be a good parent, first of all, live it. Because we can talk about it all we want to, but if we don't live it, Matthew 4:4, Jesus, when answering Satan, said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." The problem is, we want to live it, but we don't want to listen. We talked about this morning how we can have the best intentions, as Peter did on the Mount of Transfiguration, and still be 100% wrong. Isn't that amazing? With the best intentions. I've got to have proper priorities. When we think of this and we understand this as a parent, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things to be added unto you. Is He saying, oh, don't go out and make a living for your family. Don't worry about clothing them. Don't worry about feeding your family. Of course He's not saying that. He's saying put things in the proper priority and guess what will happen? All of these things that you're so concerned about will take care of themselves if you'll just listen to my wisdom. All of these things work out. We are so concerned about making sure that our children have all the necessities. No. All the things of life that are so worthless that we forgot about the important things as parents. And we forgot to tell them about the important things and we forgot to live in front of them. Because we wanted them to have the best. We wanted them to have the good clothes. They had to be better than everybody else. They had to have the best toys. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We better start living it, and you young parents, I will give you some extremely good advice from God. Live it first. Let your children know there's nothing more important in your life than leaving this life and getting to heaven. Don't live according to the flesh. How many of us can say that, wow, my whole life last week was living according to something else? No. What do we show our children? Where do we put our priorities? How do we live in front of them? In Romans 8, 5 through 9, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Now, every one of us that's honest with ourselves understand there's things of the flesh we have to take care of. Is that 100% of the time? Well, this type of flesh he's talking about here is those things we don't have to. We're more concerned about pleasing ourselves, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If we live in the flesh, to please the flesh, we cannot serve God. You cannot serve God in mammon. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not His. I'm not living up here, or preaching up here, to beat myself up over all the mistakes I made, because I will guarantee you, I made a lot of them. But I will tell you, all of you young parents, all of you young people who are planning on becoming parents, think seriously about what I'm talking about. Don't be a hypocrite in front of your parents, children. If you want your children to really believe in you, don't be a hypocrite. Don't be an actor. Don't be a pretender. Don't let them tell them in front of them, we're going to do this or I'm going to act this way and do something totally different. They're going to know. In Jeremiah 9, 12 through 14, who is the wise man me who may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken that he may declare it? Why does the land perish just before the destruction of Jerusalem and burn up like a wilderness so that no one can pass through? I tell you why. The Lord said, because they have forsaken my law which I set before them and have not obeyed my voice nor walked according to it, but they've walked according to the dictates of their own hearts and after the Baals, which their fathers taught them. Bunch of hypocrites pretended they're serving God and they would say, well, we've got the Baals, but we're really serving God. Really? And yet today, who are we serving? In our lives, what would our children say? T- Titus 2:11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. How many of us as parents can say that in front of our children, we always lived soberly, righteously, and godly? Living, it's not enough. We can live a lot of things, and we can, you know, just pretend to have this life, and we can do it because we feel the obligation to do it, but it better come from the heart. We better love it. We better make it a part of our lives. In Matthew 22, 37 through 39, when they asked Jesus, what's the most important command? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second is likened to it, love thy neighbor as thyself. Has to come from the heart. Has to come from the inner person. Has to be shown in our lives. Has to be sincere. How many children in a home would say, well, my parents really, really love God? By keeping His commandments is how we show Him. We love Him. In 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Oh, well, see, now I will keep the commandments of God that I like, because I love Him that much. That's not what He says. How many commands of God do I keep in front of my children? How do I show them I really want to do this? It's not a matter of having to. I want to do it. And I have to treat my fellow Christians that way. Finally, all of you will be one mind in 1 Peter 3:8 and 9. Having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. In front of our children, do we show that we truly do? That we truly are tenderhearted? That we truly are courteous? That we truly love as brothers? And then show it. Be the example in everything. In Philippians 3:17, Paul wasn't ashamed. He said, join in following my example as those who walk, so you may have us for a pattern. So we'll stop right here for a moment. Have you shown your children something so that if they followed your pattern, you're assured of the fact that they'll go to heaven? How many of you are so sure today? I'm not asking anybody to raise their hand because I'll be the first one. How many of us are so sure today that we lived it so perfectly and showed our children that we would want them to follow our example 100%? I'll put my hand down. How many of us show that assembling with other Christians is very important? That's what they did on the first day of the week. They came together. How many of us show our children that we're willing to pick up God's Word and study it? Or does the Bible have so much dust on it that it's the first thing we need to take care of when we clean the house? Oh, maybe we don't pick it up. How many of us meditate on it day and night? How many of us talk about it to our children? How many of us talk about it on the way home? How many of us discuss the lesson rather than the preacher? Oh, I'm an easy one. I'm an easy target. I make a lot of mistakes, and you're more than willing to talk about me. And you're more than willing to talk about my lessons. Talk about them. Study them with your children. Tell them why I said something wrong, but tell me too. You see, studying is so important. Psalm 119, 13 through 16, with my lips I've declared all the judgments of your mouth. As a parent, is it difficult to get you engaged in a conversation about the Word of God? Or is it something you frequently discuss? Not about somebody else, but about the Word. I've rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your Word. I'm going to point out something here. One of the most wonderful men in the world right here. My brother, David. David, a sinner. David who did not live it like he should, did not show love like he should, just like Abe Martin. A man, though, who understood. And look at his children. Sad, isn't it? sad. It's sad. Pray in front of them. Pray with them. Don't let it go by. Don't let a day go by. Jude 20:21, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and eternal life. Show them you believe in prayer. Show them you know that God will answer prayer. Let them know, first and foremost, that prayer is so important in your life. Not only do you want God to talk to you, but you want to talk to God. And don't shirk it. That's going to be our last point in this, because I'm going to tell you why. This, to me, is so critical. I see so many parents putting the responsibility of raising their children on everybody else rather than themselves. My dad used to say they'll leave their children with someone they're scared to leave their pocketbook with, afraid they'll take everything out of it. And yet you left the most precious thing that God gave you with someone you don't even trust. We're more than willing to shirk it. We'll give them to everybody else. We won't take care of our responsibility. Another person cannot do it for us. You can do it all you want to. You can try to put it off on someone else, but even with the law of Moses, he said, won't work. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is kind of a summation of what we've been talking about. And the words which I command you today shall be in your heart. If Moses' law was that important, do we not understand and know that the law of Christ is much, much greater than that? You shall teach them every once in a while to your children. No. Diligently to your children. Shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. The problem is, as a parent, I had 24 hours a day. It wasn't enough. I just didn't have time to sit down with Samantha and Bill. I didn't have time to talk to them about God's Word. I just couldn't find the time. God only gave me 24 hours a day. I just didn't have the time. Is that right? You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. Is He saying write them there just to show your children and be a hypocrite? Absolutely not. Jesus taught about that in Matthew 23. Don't be a hypocrite about it. He's saying everything that you do, you're going to give a reason from God's Word. You're going to tell your children why. You're going to tell them about God. You're going to tell them why you're doing it. You're going to be the frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Is He saying go around and write scriptures everywhere? No. He's saying let it be that whenever they talk with you, you're going to talk about God's Word. You're going to let them know. At what age do we start? Well, you know what? I've been thinking recently, I probably need now to talk to Bill. Probably it'd be a good time. He can understand right now. No. Absolutely not. Church can't do it for us. Church wasn't set up to do it. The church was set up for another reason. Turn to Ephesians 4. The church was set up to build up Christians. Because, boy, do we need it. Except for Roger. He doesn't need this at all. He said he does not need this recharge. Starting in verse 11, He gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why did He give all those people? Did you notice something there that's clear about every one of them, what they're supposed to be doing? Well, I'll tell you what they're supposed to be doing. For the equipping of our children. No. It's for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The responsibility of the church is to get the parents where they can bring up their children. It's a responsibility of this local church and mine to teach that so that you can do your job. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should be, no, who? We Christians should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, who makes up the body, Christians, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which each part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Can't shirk it. Can't pass it on to anyone else. I'm going to tell you right now, every mistake made in my home, I bear responsibility for. I am not blaming it on anyone else. I'm not blaming it on God. I'm not blaming it on another Christian. I'm not blaming it on their grandparents. It was mine. I had a choice. I could take it or not take it. Why would I bring a child into this world and then determine that it's not my responsibility? Schools can't do it for us. A matter of fact, I would argue these secular schools today, wow, it's like a butcher job on your children. They're going to do everything in the world to teach against everything you believe in. They're going to tell your children how stupid you are as a parent. They're going to make your job harder, not easier. David said it this way. When you understand God's will, I have more understanding. Now, he's talking about a different kind of teacher. I understand that. Than all my teachers. For your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. Wouldn't we have to say that we even should know more than that? We have the complete revealed Word of God. We're in a much better shape than David. So why is it that we shirk our responsibility when it comes to that? Why do we pass it on to someone that we know is going to do everything they can to destroy our child and send them to hell? 1 Corinthians 1, 19-21. You don't know about the wisdom of this world. It is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. You know what we do with the wisdom of the wise? They'll teach some foolish thing about God didn't create or God didn't do this or God didn't do that. And why do you believe in a God? And we compromise. We're so ashamed of what we believe in that we compromise and we say, well, you know, that's a little bit right. No, that's whole totally wrong, totally sinful, totally against God's Word. There is no compromise. Bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Tell your children. Prepare them for this world. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Where are all these people? I'll tell you where they are. They're in a horrible situation with God. And if they don't change their lives, they're going to be lost. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And yet, we send our kids off to these schools. And these schools, and they come back and they go, well, my teacher said. And how many young people have left the Lord because we didn't take the time to sit down and point out to them that is wrong. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Is he saying this is just some kind of a foolish message? He said, no, the way the world looks at it, it's just foolishness. When I talk to people about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, a lot of people just say that's plain foolishness. When I talk to them about God created the world, that's just plain foolishness. When I talk to them about all of these things, it's just foolishness. Abe, you're just one of them, really? Government can't do it for us. Boy, oh boy. I still remember this young lady who's running for office right now that's not so young anymore. She said, it takes a village to raise a child. No, it takes a parent to raise a child. Leave the village out of it. Take your village away from my child. Keep your hands off of my children. God gave them to me. In Acts 12, I'll tell you about the government. It hasn't changed from the time Herod was king. He stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. This is government. What does government promote? Every possible evil thing. No, I'm not going to. I'm not going to shirk it. Now, mine's done. And there is no patting on the back. I still pray for Samantha and Bill. I still want them and their spouses to remain faithful to God and Eric and Samantha's two daughters. It is serious. This is not just something that God gave us that we can look at and hope that they love us and we can pass them off. And the very best we do, we look through the Bible, and we've talked about it several times, and some seemingly wonderful parents ended up with seemingly awful children. We need to live it. We need to love it. We need to show it. We need to teach it. And we definitely cannot shirk it. I'll tell you something. As a parent, do nothing and expect nothing. Because I'll tell you what you'll end up with. You'll end up with a child that nobody wants to be around. And I'll tell you something else too. Never spend time with your children. Why would you want to waste your time on your children? Think back. How many hours this last week did you spend with your child? Never let them see your faith. Keep it hidden. Don't talk about it. Don't ever do it. Complain often and hard and loud about the church and then expect them to be a part of it. Never pray for God to overrule your mistakes. Don't take the time to do that. And then turn them over to everyone else to train up. You know what that is? That's a formula for disaster. You know why? People are standing in line to train your children. They can hardly wait. They love to get a hold of them. They love to teach them. And I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to warn you right now, I'm not just talking about the world. I am also talking about other Christians that will mislead our children into doing things and believing things that are 100% wrong. We need to make sure. That's why we have to put a foundation, a good foundation in them. Do you want to do well as a parent? Work hard. But I'm tired. Yeah, well, do it some more. It's hard work. You wanted them? Work at it. And pray even harder than you work. Pray about them. How often? All the time. Don't let anything go by. When you're driving down the road, when you're doing whatever, pray about your children. And never, ever give up. When we give up, Satan has them. Don't give up. I've seen some what I thought was just children that were so rebellious and everything turn out to be some of the best people in this world because their parents never gave up hard work. So I said, at the beginning, there's the only one, the Father of Heaven. Now, I understand that that term is used for a reason. Get with Him. But our Father in heaven, we are His children as Christians. We use this terminology because He wants us to understand we never get above that. I had a birthday, Vivian's having one today, a lot younger than me. But she's a child. I'm still a child. I'll never get above that. I'm a child of God. And I'm thankful He accepted Him as a child and He adopted His family. How did He adopt me? Well, He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. Because I was willing to accept what He wanted me to do. and He put me in His family permanently. Now, to stay there, you see, I was born and to stay there, I have to remain faithful to Him until death. And I have not been. Have you? I've had to constantly pray to God for my forgiveness and make changes in my life and keep doing things to make my life right. Sometimes, though, as a family of God here today, we need to make some changes. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a Christian, please, let us help you with that so that we can strengthen you and you can strengthen us. If you have any needs, please let us know while we stand and sing.